This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Mark Gridley. Mark is the president and CEO of FHN. Sorry about that. He's going to tell us about FHN, a few points of pride in it, top priorities, what he's excited about today, and a little bit more. Mark, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Certainly. So it's my pleasure to be president and CEO for FHN, and I've been with this organization for 10 years and worked in different roles as a vice president for the physician group and then also as the chief operating officer. And I'm just moving into my fifth year as CEO.
And tell us about FHN. What is FHN? Tell us about the organization, the group, et cetera.
Sure thing. So FHN is a regional healthcare system. We're located in Northwest Illinois. We predominantly service five counties and run all the way up to Iowa along the Mississippi River. So we service Stevenson, Ogle, Joe Davies, Carroll County, as well as parts of Winnebago County for those familiar with the Illinois landscape. And we are a rural hospital, 100 beds, and we do mostly acute care. Lots of collaborations with other healthcare systems, larger systems for specialty services to be provided on site. We have 19 other locations. Those vary in size from large multi-specialty clinics to rural single provider offices. We have a hospice throughout Northwest Illinois, a fully functioning cancer center, and as well as a behavioral health unit, our family counseling center as well.
And talk to us a little bit about rural healthcare today. How challenging was COVID? Just give us a sense of what you're seeing today.
Well, it's certainly a different time in my career being in healthcare for nearly 30 years now. This is a first for me and many of our team. But I would say being in a rural area, we realized that we've always been limited with resources. But we've also learned about how lean we've actually become. So when these things start to happen, we really weren't as prepared as we needed to be. Thankfully, we've had the opportunity to become more prepared. But I'd like to focus on the positive, which is just the willingness of the staff and the team to pull together to do what's ever necessary to care for the families throughout these communities. And I think that's probably my greatest point of pride is just seeing that connection of not only people working here, but also the local communities stepping up, realizing that it is a struggle and being willing to do whatever they can in big or small ways to help.
Fantastic. And talk a little bit more about FHN and sort of you mentioned the biggest point of pride has got to be right now the people and they're stepping up to take care of the families in the greater area. Talk for a moment about one or two other points of pride, and then I would just want to talk a little bit further about what you're seeing with COVID currently. Is the hospital full? Is it sort of surging? Is it starting to recede from the surge? What are you sort of kind of seeing now?
Sure. Well, I'll start with people first, always, and you know that's the greatest source of pride I think for any organization. We're a large facility in this area, but we're so much more than bricks and mortar, the latest piece of technology. It's really about the skill and the compassion of the entire team, regardless of what their role or title is, working together to do whatever needs to be done to make sure that people are well cared for. As we look at continuing to focus locally, we have a board of directors that are independent. We're a not-for-profit system, and they really do take that not-for-profit status seriously in that anything that we generate, if we're able to generate a margin, which has been very difficult over the past several years, they really focus on making sure that gets invested back into, you know, our property, our people, our equipment, and more importantly, the community as a whole. As we've struggled with COVID-19, like many other rural healthcare systems, the spring we were not expecting as much as we thought we were going to be able to deal with, and we were able to manage that quite well. This fall, we did see a noticeable increase. So as we looked back at the latter part of October, we were seeing three times the volumes that we were normally seeing back in spring on a regular basis. I have to bite my tongue right now because we're actually at a lower point this weekend at the recording of this podcast. where we only have 17 positive patients in-house, and again, we're a 100-bed hospital, and we were running, 35 pretty consistently, in addition to, our regular patients. So we were at the point of getting ready to expand and go into a surge capacity as we were exceeding over 80 to 90 patients in the house on a regular basis. But thankfully, we have not had to do that at this point. We currently have been able to manage patients well in our intensive care unit as well as on our ventilators. Again, I'm very fortunate to say that as of this time, we don't have any of our patients that are on ventilators. I think one of our bigger challenges has been for non-COVID patients, such as being able to coordinate transfers to tertiary care centers who are seeing much higher levels of activity, which have made getting patient transfers much more difficult. So we're looking at preparing for this next week. We're just coming off of the Thanksgiving holiday, and so we know that there's a time period that we have to be prepared, and we're staffing up for this next weekend for whatever comes and be able to take care of those folks the best way we can.
Fantastic. And we'll hope, and we don't know, that this Thanksgiving weekend, all these get-togethers, won't cause the amount of spread that's been so predicted. We'll hope for the best that it won't be that bad. Talk a little bit about top priorities next 3 to 6 months. What are you looking at as your top three priorities next 3 to 6 months?
The top priority is really the retention of our workforce. One of the things that we've noted is that we have a very tenured workforce. So many individuals are at a position in their careers of where they can retire. And we've seen a number of folks that have decided that going through this pandemic has really been enough excitement for them in their careers. And so that's sort of their career crowning achievement, is being able to make it through as they're looking at taking a step back. So it's really the retention and recruitment of our workforce, being able to make sure that we have a flexible workforce, paying a little bit more focus on developmental plans for our existing workforce to grow, partnering with other academic institutions to have more active programs involved throughout our community so that we are really focused on that recruitment and retention. So that's a top priority for the next 3 to 6 months, as well as making sure we maintain our financial viability, so financial sustainability, where we were fortunate to receive some CARES Act dollars. We know that that's a finite amount, and certainly our costs and a lot of the wild cards that are out there, whether it be changes with the administration, whether it be vaccine development, whether it be consumer behavior, are definitely going to be impacting us. So, another top priority is making sure that we're watching that closely and thinking about where we're going to be long term. And then within that 6 month, probably pushing out a little bit further towards the end of that 6 month, is making sure that we are focused on normalcy and that we're focused on what is the remainder of 2021 going to look like, and that we're well prepared to be able to service those needs.
Thank you. What are you hearing in terms of when you'll start distributing vaccines, or whether you'll be a site for that? What's the sense that you're getting around that?
Well, a lot of information is unknown at this point, even which manufacturer will be utilized for vaccines. So being in the state of Illinois, we're working really closely with the Illinois Health and Hospital Association. And about an hour, I actually have a webinar call on talking about mass vaccination and distribution plans. So we're certainly been preparing for it for some time, and we'd be partnering with our county health department. But as the largest employer in town, as well as having the most clinicians available to administer the vaccine, we're going to play a key role in that. And so we're just preparing for it. But until we get more information about the quantity that's going to be available, such as the tiers of inoculating our own staff first and then law enforcement and other firefighters, first responders, we'll see how much vaccine's available before we can get that out to the general public and how we partner to do that. So a lot of that information is unknown at this point.
But it seems like moving along, though, and thank goodness, and the mass vaccinations can't come soon enough, particularly for the healthcare workers, essential workforce, and so forth. So thank you. Mark, you're always thoughtful and a pleasure to speak to. you do an unbelievable job for a CEO of constantly keeping your ego in check. Take a moment. What advice would you give to aspiring leaders, to emerging leaders, about either leadership or management or how they handle themselves? You always handle yourself remarkably well. A few thoughts that you would give to emerging leaders.
That's a great question, Scott. I think I would probably say, you know, what's worked best for me, and so this is very personal, is really focusing on serving others and being able to focus on helping others be successful and to make sure that I'm supporting their needs has always been the best result for me personally for my own growth and development. Is that during that process, I found many mentors along the way that were willing to take time out to give me good counsel. And at the same time, I think some of the most rewarding experiences that you can have as a leader is watching individuals grow and succeed and watching your team succeed. And ultimately, that's going to lift you up and that's going to make you successful. At the same time, is really knowing and being firm in what your principles are. Be flexible in tactics, but always firm in your own personal principles, and that will serve you well no matter what the condition would be.
Well, fantastic. Mark, it is a pleasure to visit with you today, just on the front lines of this, of the whole world of rural healthcare, of this pandemic and everything else, and you handle yourself and your health system at VHN handles itself so well. We appreciate all you do, and thank you very much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's been a privilege, Scott.